Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Today on the Ether, the Lunar Launcher AMA, hosted by Cameron Bright, Breevy, and the DeFi Jedi. Let's take a listen.
You can participate in voting to, you know, decide how farming rewards are allocated for up to 200 million LOOP, which is 20% of the supply.
Whoa.
So that's going to be huge, because everything that Luna Launcher launches is going straight to Loop Dex. That's how TGE works. So all of our projects, OneCast Studio Token, Hybrid, all that stuff, the first floating liquidity will be on Loop Dex. So if you have a bunch of loop power, you can vote, hey, maybe give me rewards for the ones that I have.
Boom.
I just retweeted that tweet too, guys. So it's on my timeline as well.
And the loop price has already jumped like 10% since the announcement. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens, because we still have that dumb conference coming up.
Conference is gonna be huge.
TDX, baby.
Oh, that one's gonna be dope. But then there's the FOMC that everyone who knows stuff about the stock market's all worried about. But I don't know anything about that. So hey,
What's a stock market? Is that like where? Right. Is that like where the normies hang out? I don't even know what that is.
Dude, I fucked up my brain, man. I shouldn't have started straight in crypto. I can't even do stocks.
That's good. There's no reason that anyone, like, remotely young or really any age at this point should get started with the stock market. It is a closed game. It's a boys' club. They got Wall Street. You're not going to figure it out better than people have been doing it, you know, as a family dynasty for 100 years.
Exactly right, man.
Well, I thought for a second you're describing the ETH blockchain there.
Hey, I don't know any ETH either, so, you know.
Oh, that's
similarities and differences there.
Dude. Cam, we got you in. I got you up for co-host. Breevy, you up?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm literally just taking a dab real quick, so I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Really? That's what I'm talking about.
You said you smoking mid, Cam. What you say?
I'm taking a dab.
Just a dab will do you, baby. I figured I would get things kicked off and, you know, talking for a minute or two, and then I'll do my dab, because this is a big space, and thank God I got some big brains helping me today. Cam and Breevy, you guys are gonna help us go down the launch rabbit hole and wait, where did he go? Did he just he just got rugged. Where did he go? Launch just got rugged. He'll be back. It's the Twitter spaces, man. I think,
don't worry, Elon's gonna make
right,
it better.
That's right. I can't wait, man. This is gonna be good. He's gonna make it I think he's gonna make it so you can host to spaces while you're driving your Tesla and have the Tesla drive, and then you can do a dab. I mean, not do a dab, but talk about cool stuff.
No, your Tesla actually does the dab for you.
This is exactly it. Hell yeah. Bam. We need to give him a message. Hey, we need a Tesla dab rig in our new Teslas. Because, you know, once we get some launch, we're going to need to buy some faster, bigger, badder Teslas and bigger, badder dab systems. So, I mean, it is just what it is.
Bro, it's got to be all for all the princes out in UAE and shit that need the hookah adapter for their fucking Teslas. Come on now. It's got to be a thing. Like, all you got to do is just take out your little, your fucking whatchamacallit, your lighter, your little pop-in lighter, put a little bowl in there, and it just sucks it in and blows it out your AC all chill.
Oh, yes, this is the way.
We need to set up a meeting with Elon stat.
We got something for you, brother. I know you can appreciate this, and we will make it happen.
You know, it's not Elon, but one of the projects we're launching, Solar BTC. The head engineer is one of the head engineers from Tesla's battery department.
What? Yeah. So,
it's an in. Maybe we'll get discounts.
Hell yeah.
That's not a promise. That's not financial advice. That was just a promise.
I was going to say, there's no way. He probably doesn't even get discounts.
I said maybe, which includes no.
Oh, that's funny.
Have you guys actually ever seen, I can't remember his name. It was a couple of years ago and he's kind of well known now, but there's that one dude from down in the States. I don't know if he ever,
the salvage guy.
The salvage guy. He was like a dev or some shit who like wanted to fix his own Tesla and then basically found out it's impossible to do that. So he's been in like countless like cease and desist order lawsuit battles and everything. And he's got like ridiculous videos of him just asking for like the dumbest little parts. And they're like, what do you want that for? And he just starts laughing. And it's like, dude, what are you? It's like a $2 piece. Why does it matter?
I'm gonna have to watch that, man. I like the sound of that.
I'll find the link for it and I'll send it to you. It's like whatever they have there. It was like a little Vice documentary about him, and it's just an interesting, you know, he's doing the big old fuck you to the man for sure, because they've come after him a few times for just like that exactly. Like he'll just go and buy torn up, you know, like, oh, if there's front end issues, well, there's shit he can use in the back. He just takes everything apart and then we'll just like Frankenstein these Teslas together, which is not allowed like whatsoever. You like have to deal with Tesla for everything. You crack your windshield, you've got to send your Tesla to Tesla. There's no like Tesla people walking around that do that shit, and like you void warranties and do weird shit. Tesla ownership is more of a burden, I feel like, than it is anything else.
It's a cult.
You know, you gotta like live nearby to one of their operations, and then it's not a burden, but then you're tied to their operations, which is also good for them, you know. Right. Which is their plan for Mars. You know, you can't get Ford on Mars, you gotta take your Tesla rover to the station.
All right,
that's too good.
I have to chime in as the Tesla owner.
Hey,
bow down to my Tesla.
Bow down to my expensive ass car payment. So I will tell you guys, I am about 4,500 miles into my Tesla ownership. It has been an adventure. I haven't gotten invited to the cult, but apparently we're supposed to wave at each other when we drive by in Teslas, and I think that's kind of funny. So apparently I'm the asshole because I don't wave at people. I had that pointed out to me the other day.
Jeep does that shit too, where they have like some like little hand signal they throw at each other.
Yeah, Jeep things. Ha ha, Jeeping, just Jeeping around. Those are my favorite TikToks, are the Jeep TikToks. You have to have an exit strategy if you're buying a Tesla. Like, if you're fixing your Tesla, you done fucked up. Like, you've owned it too long. So, my game plan is to essentially just offload my Tesla every year to 18 months for a new Tesla, because the APRs in the States really aren't bad. Like, it doesn't cost me really any money to finance it because the APRs don't suck. So you're never out of warranty, and most shit doesn't go wrong on a Tesla till well after like 20,000 miles. And if you just keep buying a year old one on the lease returns, you kind of endless cycle on a Tesla and never have to fix your Tesla.
Whoa. Good thing Luna is gonna be 1,000.
Also recommend that. You lose a little bit of money every year, but now we're getting into like financial advice. I have businesses, so I have write-offs. Therefore, you know, like it doesn't really behoove me to hold it very long, anyways. But same thing with German cars. Like why would you ever fix your fucking Audi? Like, are you high or your BMW? Just get rid of it before it hits like 40,000 miles.
True.
Yeah, definitely. Dang.
People are going to be like, is this a Tesla space or a Luna launcher?
If you buy enough Luna launcher, you could probably yield a Tesla payment.
What?
Boom.
There it is. That's a good tie-in.
Boom. Boom. That's what we're talking about. We're here to make sure you all get Tesla. Not financial advice or promises, but this is why we're here, people. Well, you know, we've had a nice little journey down Tesla Lane, and that's almost like a word, one word, Tesla Lane, Tesla Lane. And Cam's maybe got his dab in. We're probably about ready to actually maybe, if P didn't get rugged. Damn it, launcher got rugged again.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll. Sweet. That's too funny. It wouldn't be Twitter without a good old rugging.
You got to get rugged. That way you know you're alive. Come on. Here's the we got Luna Launcher coming back in.
I just got to queue up. It's the Ruggish, Ruggish Bone every time.
Oh, I love that song so much.
Yeah. It's the Ruggish, Ruggish Bone.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. It's stuck in everyone's head now.
Oh, this is good. Well, all right, people. You know, I know we have TerraSpaces recording this. So first and foremost, I want to shout out TerraSpaces.org for all of your Terra information. They've got us on podcasts so you can come back and listen. This will be recorded on Spaces and on our Twitter Spaces as well. But the Terra Spaces guys, they do a hell of a job of editing the audio and making sure everything's, you know, good. So you'll be able to hear it afterwards once they get it done and repost it. We'll make sure to share it. With that, I would like to introduce our host. We got the good, the master, Cameron Bright and Breevy from Mighty Well Podcast. So Cam, and what's that Luna launcher?
I said pew 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 pew. I said roll with it, bro.
This is the AMA for Luna Launcher. Welcome everybody. I know that there's another space is going on, so we lost a few people to the Luart burning, which is probably not going to give anybody any Teslas. So I don't know why they're over there. Get their asses back over here. And
that's not true. It's going to give the cousins the Teslas.
Exactly. Exactly. It's going to give the cousins the Teslas.
Who said
baby
that?
Jesus.
Like, I've really tried not to, like, engage in this and, like, just mind my business and be here for the community. But I can't help it. Every time I hear someone say cousins, all I can think of is Grand Theft fucking Auto. Is it the same for everyone else?
I must have missed that one.
Oh man, like when GTA Vice City, man, like when you walk in, they're like cousin, and then that's all I hear is the, like, oof.
The mafia cousins, they run the show.
I started with DJ, so I was late.
All right, boys and girls, Jedis and Padawans, I'm gonna turn the over to Cam and Breevy, and let them get this party started. All right, guys?
Yeah, let's get this party started. Hearts in the chat first. I need hearts in the chat. Hearts in the chat, folks. Yeah, there we go. Ooh, got the orange flexing. Purple? Let's go. Like the perp.
Yeah, I don't even know how it ended up being purple. It just turned purple on me one day, and I'm like, what the fuck? But-
Here we are at the Luna Launchers AMA. You know, like, if you have like a question or anything you want to speak, feel free to just request to speak and we'll bring you on up. But first things first, we're gonna ask me and Cam are gonna ask Luna Launchers a few questions. I guess my first question is, for the peoples out there who might not know too much about the project, can you give them a quick overview?
That's for me. I'm sorry if I said Cam, but that sounds like a question I should answer.
Oh, yes, for you. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, real quick, everybody, just, you know, I'm on the Luna Launcher account, but this is Ian Plunk. So I'm the CEO of Luna Launcher. You'll be seeing more and more and more and more of me as we ramp up marketing and start doing founders interviews with the projects that we're launching. And you'll be seeing a lot of me if you come to TDX, stop by our booth. We got, we're in one of the VIP rooms too. So just make sure you say hello if you're going to come to TDX. But yeah, you know, I'm the CEO of this launch pad on Terra. So probably right away you're thinking, why the hell does Terra need another launch pad, right? We got a bunch. We got Star Terra. We got Atla. We have the Pylon Gateway. Valkyrie does IPC. That program for doing, you know, raising new projects. So why should we build another launch pad? So right off the bat, I think the most important thing of Luna Launcher is looking at the projects that we're going to bring to Terra. You know, for a launch pad, you know, the product isn't really the launch coin. It's not even our web app. Our product is what we're bringing to Terra, these projects that we raise for, the opportunities that they present to investors, and, you know, what they do. So right away, our biggest, well, first of all, we have a curated partnership with Loop Ventures, who's the incubator of Loop. And so Loop is constantly bringing us, you know, already vetted projects and teams who have already built successful projects in the millions and billions of dollar ranges outside of blockchain, but who are now looking to bring their infrastructure into blockchain. So what we're trying to do and what we're strategically positioned to do is to ride the metaverse wave. GameFi, Web3, metaverse, all these crazy big tech, you know, subsectors of the industry are about to bring so many newbies into cryptocurrency. People who, you know, just want a Hot Wheels t-shirt and they can only get it because it's an NFT, or, you know, people who just want to play this game and they can only play it because they have to spend in-game currency, which is on chain. So, you know, as these big industries come into cryptocurrency and realize like this market isn't going away, we need to start building right now. Luna Launcher is strategically positioned to raise all of the biggest and the best projects who want to, you know, build like that on Terra. So right now, I think if you look at some of our first three projects, you really see what we're talking about. We have OneCast Studio, which is, you know, I'm going to get this pitch open so I can say it right, the one sentence pitch. OneCast Studio, a booking and entertainment platform that uses NFTs to empower producers, talent, and content creators. We have Hybrid NFT, which is a company with serious brand name connections that bridges physical art with the metaverse NFTs and uses print-on-demand smart factories so that you can, you know, print your wearable in real life and have your avatar wear that wearable as an NFT in the metaverse. And we have Solar Bitcoin, which is a decentralized profit-sharing app for global solar infrastructure that's used to mine Bitcoin using absolutely no energy from the traditional grid. So all of these projects, they already exist in the real world in some capacity, but are looking to branch in the, you know, blockchain for reasons that I'm sure we're all familiar with. Cutting out the middleman saves a lot of money and makes a lot of money, and getting away from centralized business infrastructure is generally good for, you know, both the consumer and the project. So, you know, in short, the project partnerships is the biggest reason to get involved with Luna Launcher, but yeah, we also have tons of other, I wish I had this article posted. I have an article that I was writing by the time this space started, and it's not quite ready yet. So hopefully I can get our host to retweet it afterwards. But basically the opportunity to get in on the ground floor of all these project partnerships is right now. You know, our launch IDO happens on March 9th and our whitelist is still open. So if you're interested at all in any of the projects that I mentioned or even the themes that I was talking about, the best way to get involved would be to start getting launch as early as possible, because the more launch you have, the more rocket fuel you have, the higher chance you have to be whitelisted for IDOs, and the higher allocation you can have as you go. So that's like a 2-3 minute pitch. So let's open it up to more conversation.
Yeah, definitely answered a lot there. But yeah, I know when I was reading the light paper, one of the things that definitely kind of surprised me was the sheer volume of your team. Can you speak more on that? Just like, you know, how many members and really what you guys encompass as far as, you know, your multi-chain expertise, you know, and what that brings to the table as well.
Yeah, 100%. So I'll start by saying our core team is around, 10 people. But yeah, our entire team spans, you know, at this point in the pitch deck, I think it says 60 to 70. I think it's over 100 now at one point, depending on how you, you know, count the different developers and marketing professionals that are hired for a certain amount of time and all kinds of stuff. Hold on, like I said, our core team, which includes our senior tech developer, me, the CEO, front end, full stack developers, and a few other individuals, including advisors, would be around 10. But we are, especially through our partnership with Loop Ventures, we're connected to a growing network of developers, of content creators, of artists, all kinds of stuff that really was brought to us through the Loop Ventures incubator. First of all, shout out to Maz Zaman. I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen Loop Ventures productions, but Maz Zaman is the CEO of Loop Ventures, and that dude is a wizard. He creates value out of any good idea. And he always makes business partnerships that bring value to not only, you know, the person making the partnership, but the person being proposed to. So that, you know, he comes to you with a deal and it's almost impossible to say no, because it's always a good deal and everyone wins. And I think that's the best thing about DeFi. And that's also the reason that our team keeps growing, because, you know, as Loop Ventures hires a designer that's successful here, you know, we decide to keep them for this purpose later. If we find an influencer that we really like, you know, we decide to marry them with the team, and we do it in a way that brings everyone value. And we're doing it in a way that just makes this absolute, you know, growing machine of infrastructure in the Loop Ventures and now into the Luna Launcher Launchpad ecosystem that, you know, is what's critical to accepting this huge wave of mass adoption that's heading our way. I hope that answered it. It's a tough question to answer because, you know, half of my team's asleep at any given time that I'm awake.
Yeah, no, well, that's the life of crypto, I feel like, too, is where it's you know, it's a very international and, you know, in reality, still a niche thing. You know, it's like it's ever expanding and ever growing. But in reality, the sheer volume of people involved is very small still. So, and especially when you start breaking it down into, you know, individual blockchains and stuff, right? So, yeah, it's pretty amazing just to see. If anything, can you go more into like your own background and what brought you to the idea of doing a launch pad and so on?
Yeah, 100%. I guess I can be considered a latecomer in the crypto because I dabbled before, you know, 2017. But then I got in not at the top in 2017, but right at the bottom in 2018. That's when I really started getting involved in crypto. At the time, I was a chef, actually. I was a chef that was working in a little birrificio vicino a Montepulciano in Tuscany. I was working in a brew pub in Italy because I thought it'd be cool and romantic to go to culinary school and then Europe. And I was freaking broke, man. I had no money. I had student loans. They didn't actually pay me while I was in Italy. And so I was like, well, hell, I need to make money. Like, I need to make money without having money. So what do I do? And I started hunting 100 times altcoins, and I found one with Unibright. So I had an unsuccessful first year in investing, but then a year later I came back and some of my Unibright turned into $6,000. And, you know, that got me hooked. That's what got me hooked. I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, I had no money and I was like, I need to make money. And I tried crypto and it started to work. I was like, oh, so this is what I do. This is what I focus my energy on. And I became obsessed with that, especially during, you know, COVID and pandemic. I was home a lot. And, you know, I got as into that as possible. And I got really deep into this project called RSR, Reserve Protocol on Ethereum. Nevin Freeman is the CEO of that. And his idea was to create this volatile asset RSR that's related to the RSV stablecoin, and basically have this volatile asset which supports a system that is a stable coin that hedges against inflation, which probably sounds very familiar to everyone who's familiar with Terra, because basically that's what Terra does. So as I got into that for a year and I got into the community and I became obsessed. But then as soon as I learned about Terra Luna, as soon as I learned everything about Dogecoin and the Chai app and the fact that UST was already being used in the back end in the Chai app to accept payments in Korea, I was like, oh, this is a better solution. You know, this is the same idea, but it's actually happening now. This is, you know, the pony to bet all the marbles on. So I did in February 2021, a year ago, I bet all my marbles on that pony. And that was a great bet. I'm very excited with that. Our ecosystem is just booming right now. So I got to say, other than Anchor Protocol, which was rough because I got involved and then I got burned, and, you know, I thought I loved it, but then it liquidated me for tons of money. Other than that, the first project that I personally got involved with was Loop. You know, it was Loop and then it was Valkyrie. But Loop, I was up really late one night. Actually, I still remember this day so well. I was up really late one night just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw Loop, and I finally realized that it was like a message board, like Medium, but you could make cryptocurrency rewards. And the timer for the weekly engagement was going to roll over in like 3 hours. So I stayed up for those 3 hours and wrote my first two ever articles on Loop. And my girlfriend was like, what the hell are you doing? She was like, you need to come to bed. What the hell are you doing? I was like, babe, I'm writing articles. She's like, you're not a writer. What are you doing? Why would you do that? And I was like, it's important. I'm pretty sure it's important. And so that weekly engagement and then getting involved with the Loop community and then talking with people who are already involved with the space in business. And then just everything that cascaded from that one event of trying to beat the timer to get my, I think it was 100 Loop R, right? That was the weekly engagement rewards at the time for a new writer, which is, I don't know, 10 cents or less. I'm not sure. But, you know, that sparked that idea that, you know, I don't have to get a job. I don't have to be a freelance journalist. I don't even have to, like, you know, go through the process of signing up for Medium. I can just write whatever I feel like writing. And then if people who are interested in the same cryptocurrency topic, you know, find value in that, I'm rewarded with value. And that's the core of Web3. And that's what, you know, this whole movement that we're on the cusp of is bringing to us. There's tons of things, tons of interactions that people do every day that have value. Amazon reviewers, you know, a good reviewer has actual value. So if they write good reviews, there's more sales of the product, more realistic expectations, that has value. And, you know, a decentralized network like Terra allows tons of ways for that value to be rewarded with, you know. I mean, everyone has tons of ways to do it. Loop has the Loop R thing. They also have that new voting system, which is pretty interesting. But in the traditional world, bringing real value to these people and these actors is impossible because generally, you know, Amazon owns the website and they make the rules. Or, you know, Ticketmaster, you know, is happy accepting all its fee on every single ticket ever sold ever. So they're not going to change the fact that their fees are way too high. Or, you know, Etsy is happy taking a large portion of profits away from artists, you know, all kinds of stuff where our system is broken because we have an old infrastructure that is built around centralized financial models. So, you know, I began writing fervently as an Anon persona on Loop about all the ways that, you know, the world is about to go through revolution. You know, I don't know what the event will be. I don't know if it's going to be violent, but everything's going to change. The government, fiat, is not going to be in control of like the biggest money markets in the world. Centralized banks are going out. You know, power is going to be distributed through the network. I became obsessed with that idea. And I began talking about it all the time. And when you talk about things like that, when you put that energy out into the world, especially with the internet and everything we have now, other people who agree with you, you know, start talking with you. And that's exactly what happened. I started talking with, you know, seasoned guns, business professionals, people who are in the industry, but, you know, we're looking for the most valuable ways to go about it. And, you know, collaboration after collaboration led to one thing, led one thing to another. And I just, you know, it's crazy. You try to think back, what is the one event that made it happen? But it just happened over meeting one person and then another person and then being in a room with all three of those people who bring in another person. I just got involved with this group of people who agree with me and who had connections to these crazy projects that wanted to get into Terra. And then we're saying, like, how do we do it? We're trying to figure it out on an individual basis. And ultimately, you know, having a network, a growing network of just absolute guns in the industry, like we, you know, like the support we get from Loop Ventures, is what makes everything possible. At one point, a task may seem impossible, but a month later, when you build the tools and the connections necessary in the space, you know, suddenly, now we can achieve this because we have more resources to work with. We have more minds on the thing. And, you know, the time is right. Hopefully, that's what we think. So it was a long process, but, you know, it's a passion project of a bunch of people who see the opportunity.
I love how your life kind of flowed right to this position. You know, oftentimes.
I do too.
No, just listening to the story, man, just really, you can just see step by step how you just kind of like followed your own path. And then suddenly here you are, right? You're about to launch Luna Launcher. So, you know, just hearing that was really inspiring and just very, very happy for you in general. because, you know, that's an amazing, amazing story, and it's a great path.
It's the dream, you know, and it's what I've been talking about for, you know, multiple years since I started investing, and also for multiple years having been a chef. But like 95% of the time I mentioned anything about cryptocurrency, people would tell me I was crazy. People would tell me I'm an idiot. People would tell me it's a Ponzi. People say it's not real money. Everything, you know, for years and years, at some points I started to believe them, be like, shit, like, maybe I'm crazy. Like, maybe there's no way this shit could actually work. Maybe the US dollar will reign supreme forever. Bullshit. But, you know, I don't know. There's something that causes regular people to be averse to this risk on venture, some kind of conditioning that makes people think that fiat currency is the only way to, you know, have value in the world. And that's not true. And we're learning that week by week, by products, like cryptocurrency products, who prove it. And, you know, I think the tide is shifting. I think very soon is the time when mainstream people are going to start to realize, like, yeah, wait, why do I have a bank account? Why do I have a savings account? What is a savings account? 0.2% APR is less than nothing. It's negative money. Inflation's way higher than that. Savings is a good concept, but banks and savings accounts make no sense. People are getting fed up. And more people, more and more influencers and celebrities are, you know, echoing that message. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want a, you know, I guess it's 17.5% for Anchor Earn right now, but why wouldn't you want that? Everyone wants that. They just don't know how to get there. So, you know, now that we have the Loop Ventures ecosystem, which is supported by Loop Learn and the Loop community, which are great ways for newbies to learn that I didn't have when I started, you know, all the tools are there. And so, you know, we just need people with strong business acumen who are convincing and, you know, have the right connections in the industry to say, you know, do it on Terra, fuck Ethereum. You don't want to pay gas for, like, you know, event access to your OneCast events. You want to pay no gas and then people will use it. And so, you know, the more business deals we set up, the more cool products we bring onto Terra, the stronger and more robust our ecosystem is. And the more like mainstream people join Terra as opposed to Solana or they can join through Solana, Binance Smart Chain, and all other things, which is one of the other great things about our platform, but I'll get into that later.
Actually, if you want.
Let's get into it now.
Right, since you mentioned it. Yeah, that was definitely one of the questions I want to talk about. Right. So you're multi-chain. What can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, man. So, you know, the first multi-chain implementation that we want to have is just allowing people from other blockchains to connect their wallets directly to lunalauncher.io. And we have that tech for Ethereum, Solana, Binance Smart Chain, and also Polygon right now. The thing is, we do have to wait for full testing and implementation on Loop IBC pools to make sure the routing works. But as soon as everything is tested and vetted and we make sure no one's going to, like, you know, it needs to be thoroughly tested because we can't have people lose money on it. But as soon as we're sure that everything is ready, it'll be just an absolute cinch to invest multi-chain assets in, you know, a Terra IDO. So basically, you know, instead of saying, you know, it's IDO day, and instead of going and dropping 150 UST into the IDO, users will be able to connect a MetaMask or a Kepler wallet and, you know, a wallet with Matic or Sol or ETH in it and say, you know, I want to spend this much ETH, max, whatever, click it. Sign the transaction, and then, you know, nothing else. The automated routing pools will invest that. We'll use the Loop Dex to swap those IBC pairs into UST and invest UST into the, you know, project raise for that project. So we love this because, you know, obviously there's already ways you could do this by trading your assets through a central exchange, all that jazz. But if you make that easy for people to do, you know, take their cross-chain assets that maybe aren't performing so well as they thought they would, you know, people who see Luna and Terra and how much it's building that want to get involved in the ecosystem can just take their assets right to our website, say, I can spare this much, click, you know, click send, and then boom, that much UST is essentially bought off the market. And that's the goal, isn't it? We want as high a market cap of UST as possible. So if we can make it easy for other investors with big money on other big blockchains to invest in these cool Terra products, and not only will we get more money for these cool projects, but, you know, we'll support the health of the entire ecosystem and the, you know, moonshot price action of Luna, which is, I think, all of our favorite thing.
Which wallets will you have support for when you first launch?
Yeah. Let me open. I think it's Leap. Let me just wait for the site to load so I don't mess anything up. Terra or shit. Or shoot. TerraStation wallet, Leap wallet, XDeFi, and Falcon wallet. And Wallet Connect too, if you want to do, you know, mobile connect for TerraStation.
Yo, that's super fire that like you guys are multi-chain. Like I love hearing about anybody that's doing like that's bringing in other chains and other blockchains, because I feel like at the end of the day, vision for the future, if like 5 years from now, if I cannot access the applications you have on just because I am on another chain, that's not really going to make a lot of sense to a lot of different people in the long run. So I love hearing that you're multi-chain. That shit's like amazing. Another thing I want to talk about is you got this thing called $LAUNCH. What's that all about?
Right. This is our utility token. Real quick before this thought leaves my head, I want to say it out loud. About, you know, making it easy for outside investors. It's like, let's say you have, you know, $10 cash and your debit card in, you know, your car and an ATM at this venue, and you're at, you know, a place where you can get a sandwich or a burger, and you really want a sandwich, but they only, but the sandwiches only accept, or you really want a sandwich, but burgers accept cash and sandwiches do not. So you could walk, you know, 2 minutes back to your car, get your wallet for your debit card and go get your sandwich. But instead, you're probably just going to spend the dollar, you know, the $10 on a burger, because it's easy. You have the right cash for it. You don't have to spend any extra steps. So that's our strategy, you know, with making our wallet connection multi-chain. People could go to a central exchange and trade it to this and trade it to that and take a taxable event. But, you know, why not just connect it all in DeFi and invest into the hybrid NFT right while you're here? But yes, like you were saying, launch token, what is it? So the launch token is our utility token. When you run IDOs, you know, you're doing public round investment for an unlaunched product. So you can't have certain individuals invest too much, you know, in the raise. So let's say one single whale wallet were to invest $200,000 out of a 400,000 raise, they'd have half of the IDO tokens. They'd have way too much market share, and they'd be able to manipulate market prices or cause extremely negative effects on the price action of that token. So you need to have a tiered system that gives limited allocations to a diverse array of healthy investors. So that's actually what we're doing right this week. We're trying to build as diverse and healthy a whitelist as possible for the launch raise, because, you know, the more different actors have launch and the more fair and balanced amount of launch they have, the more likely we are to have, you know, healthy investor participation in all the raises that are coming up. So this week, what we're doing is we're giving out whitelists for the launch IDO, but doing it to as many successful communities as possible. Luckily, we've had a bunch of Terra NFT launches go on already, and we've seen which ones go well and which ones maybe are a little bit shadier. So we know, you know, that Silent Solos are a, you know, avid, strong community and resilient too. We know that Stone Ducks are the same way. You know, they didn't mint out, but they're still killing it. Their sales are doing good. They have awesome real world vision. So you may see that we have two active giveaways going on with those two NFT communities. So Luna Launcher spent a little bit of money to go into the market, buy one of their NFTs, and now we're raffling it away to anyone in their Twitter community. And what's more is while we do that, we give them a bunch of information about our project and how it works. And then we're going to give them, you know, 50 whitelist spots for this IDO that's happening for the launch token. So we're going to do that with, I think, 8 to 12 more NFT projects over the next week. So get ready to win some free NFTs. So that by the end of that, we have, you know, between 500 and 1,000 whitelist spots for the launch IDO distributed to all kinds of different vibrant and active communities on Terra. And we're doing that in a bunch of other ways that are behind the scenes. But the objective is to, you know, get as many people that we think will be high quality investors to get as much launch out of this public IDO as possible. And then 100% of the launch that is vested in the you know, IDO on the 10th, which is going to be 3% of the supply, which 3% of the supply is 3 million launch. All of that launch will be vested, immediately available to our IDO investors on day one, because as soon as we generate our token on day one, that's when we're going to start our first raise with OneCast Studio. So just to give a brief overview of how this works, Users who hold Launch in their Terra wallet, or yeah, it'll have to be the Terra wallet, can come to our web app and they can do two things with Launch. They can stake it in a single staking pool, or they can provide it in Launch UST LP tokens. And the more you do either event, the more rocket fuel you have. We have a tiered chart on our website, lunalauncher.io, that shows how this works. But for example, if you take about $150 worth of Launch and invest it and stake it all, you'll have access to our lowest tier, which gives you an extremely low lottery chance of winning whitelist allocation for all of the projects we launch on our platform at base allocation. If you have $500 worth of Launch staked, you have a much higher statistically significant chance of getting allocation for all the projects we launch on Luna Launcher, and also base allocation. And then as you climb the tiers, as you buy more and stake more Launch, you unlock increasing tiers for a project, which are actually named all after rockets because everyone loves rockets, especially us. So we got the smallest tier being Firefly, which I chose because I'm a big Joss Whedon fan and I love that show. And it's a small little rocket ship, spaceship. And then after that, we have Apollo 9 or Apollo Falcon 9, space shuttle, and finally Starship, named after Elon Musk's Starship. Maybe he will give us attention. But as you climb those tiers by having more and more Launch, you get both a higher chance to be whitelisted for every single IDO that we launch, and also a higher base allocation, up to 8 times the base allocation if you're in Starship tier, or if you're in the top 50 wallets of the amount of Launch held and rocket fuel accumulated, then you will get guaranteed allocation to every single IDO that we launch at 10 times base allocation maximum. So basically Launch is, you know, our way of creating a community that continually supports our project over time. And, you know, we know has potential to be a high quality investor for the high quality products that we're delivering IDOs for.
Yeah, you pretty much answered most a couple of my questions there. What is the KYC like as well for your projects? Do you just have to KYC once for Luna Launcher and then you're good for everything, like every IDO, or will it be separate, or what can people look for that?
Yeah, so we use Synapse KYC, which is, I think, a pretty common KYC service in terms of DeFi. So if you have your wallet and do KYC verification for that wallet, it will perpetually, remain on the Luna Launcher website. So if you do one KYC event for your wallet, then you never have to do it again, unless you end up changing wallets or some extreme circumstance happens. But another feature that we are just thrilled that we're able to deliver is KYC is not required for IDOs on Luna Launcher, which I'm an American, you know, I'm living in America. I've never participated in an IDO on Terra before because I can't, because America, you know, America's is what it is. And, you know, regulators don't allow us to participate in IDOs. I'm not sure what the reasoning is for it, but it's stupid and that's the way it is. So Star Terra came around, I couldn't do anything. Atlo came around, I couldn't do anything. You know, I just had to sit on the sidelines and say, guess I have to invest in other schemes. But Luna Launcher got some kickback from our legal team, but we figured out a way to allow, you know, limited liability per wallet such that any wallet that's not KYC can still participate in all the IDOs that we launch on Luna Launcher. However, they have a maximum allocation of 1,000 UST per IDO, and each non-KYC wallet can only invest a total of 3,000 UST on Luna Launcher. So, you know, you could participate in 3 IDOs and invest $1,000 in each, which, I mean, I think that's more than enough for anyone who wants to dip their toes into IDOs. Sounds good.
Man, that just made me just so happy right there. You just alleviated a whole lot of stress on my mind. Cause I'm like, yo, am I going to have this amazing AMA and then not even be able to invest because it's KYC?
Excited about it. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I think we're the same here in Canada as well. Like, I know on Kadena, I wasn't able to take part in one of our, like, a couple of our KYCs and stuff. Some of them I am, but yeah, a couple of them I wasn't because I'm, you know, the same here in Canada.
Yeah, so we recognize that there's a large amount of the world that's unable to do so, and there's also a lot of money in these regions of the world. And our legal team didn't like it, but we made them figure out a way that they could like it. They came up with this model. And quite frankly, if you know how cousins work, then you can figure out a way to, lift that $3,000 maximum if you're a non-KYC wallet. though I shouldn't get too far into details there.
Now, what's the
reason? Hey, man, they're stealing our viewers right now.
jerks, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Everybody likes to watch a train wreck.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, to be fair, I have not been listening, so I do not know if it is a train wreck, but I feel like all the fixins are there, you know.
Yeah, what it is it just kind of keeps like going and go, like every 12 hours there's something new coming up, and yeah, so it's, and then now they just literally airdropped, like they did the airdrop for Luart, but like they put out the top 200 wallets or whatever, and it's like, great, give people something else to go through and then find bullshit. Like, it's like, great, like, here we go. So I'm expecting tomorrow morning to wake up to somebody else getting fired.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to stoke the coals, but I am saying, I raised a question that said, hey, those botted wallets have made a lot of Lua power. I would be really surprised to see someone else has spent more than like $1 million in the marketplace. Are they getting dropped Luart? And I got crickets. So, you know, I don't know, boys and girls. Like,
it's as we said earlier, it's an interesting thing to be watching for right now, for sure. It's one of those things that like leads back to, we're in a very, you know, a very young market still, let alone with crypto alone, but with also Luna. And that specifically, that's more NFTs, right? Like even Luna NFTs have only been around, you know, them specifically, Luart, for the first like 6 months of business. It doesn't look too hot, you know what I mean? They got to do some major changes. So it's just stuff that, like, you know, I guess that could lead into a question to Luna, like, yourself thinking about the KYC and everything, do you think, you know, as Luna and UST, as well as yourself, trying to gain more business from multi-chains, do you think, you know, you have the right developers and the right tech to be able to protect yourself and your IDOs from stuff like that? The, you know, the impending doom of really, as soon as things start getting crazy, you know, scammers be scamming, they will be around. So do you think that, you know, you guys are prepared for what is to come?
100% I do. There's a lot of things that will provide lots of challenges in our future, but don't think that that's one of them. First of all, we have developers and also advisors that have participated in extremely successful launch pads on Ethereum. Can't get into details about it, but they've done this game before for a different style of launch pad on Ethereum. And, you know, they did it. They figured that shit out. They made some money. They made everyone money. They, you know, learned about scammers, et cetera. So we have that know-how. We also have, you know, code from developers that we've, you know, all our code is original. We've created ourselves. We have, based on information we learned from our advisors from other launch pads, and all our code is being audited by Halborn now. The audit's not released yet. We're really hoping to get the audit released this week, but auditors are super slow right now because everyone's trying to build. But we will have fully audited code, and we won't, you know, do anything until we can prove that everything's safe. But also another, you know, control point we have is that we are accepting applications from anyone who wants to launch with Luna Launcher, but we are extremely picky. We are so picky. We've turned away over 100 projects in the last week, I'm sure. And especially with Loop Ventures, Loop Ventures only brings to us projects who have an absolutely, you know, proven track record that's visibly proven. We spend money on researching them. If they make it through certain points, we make sure that they have a team that's experienced. We have just a huge horizontally integrated team that controls who gets to launch with us, or that decides who gets to launch with us. And I think that's what's most important. A lot of other projects you'll see doing, you know, DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, to decide what projects to launch. And that's, I got to be careful what I say, because we have some direct competitors that do this. it sounds really good. It's in the spirit of DeFi. It sounds like a great idea, but it's dangerous because people make mistakes all the time. And if you're just voting in a governance system where you don't have any face time with the project, you don't actually get to meet them and talk with them, engage their personality and intentions, you can't always make the best decisions. And that's when, you know, that's when people have a whitelist a project that sounds good, really good, get ready for launch, and, you know, those actors have bad intentions. So we have an extremely picky process for deciding who gets launched. We have professionals that do background checks. We hire people to do background checks. You know, it's their area of expertise, not ours, so we hire them, and we get extremely thorough background checks. Oh, I gotta be really careful what I say here. We are working with a designer who is working with a marketing agency who found out that the project that they're both working on is in fact a rug pull that's actually active right now. Well, I can't say specifically to it. 80% sure that a project that's building right now on a different blockchain is a rug pull. We found that out by doing a background check on a marketing agency, not even that project. So they find, you know, we have connections in this industry that know how to sniff out the bullshit, know how to sniff out the scammers, and know how to keep them far, far away from a project. So in that regard, our biggest vulnerability would be by smart contract and by, you know, other security vulnerabilities, such as our treasury being compromised, et cetera. But, we, you know, again, we have huge safeguards on every level of those things. So I think that the scammers and, you know, contract vulnerabilities are on the lower end of our concerns. But of course, we're always being vigilant about them.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, while I have this on my mind, I wanted to comment on one thing. We were talking about Luart, obviously, earlier. So Luart's a launchpad, but a launchpad, for NFT projects. Thanks to Loop Ventures, again, we have an extremely close partnership with the Lunart team. That's with an N. Not Luart, but Lunart. We're still discussing. We actually opened the discussion this week, but, you know, we have an open line of communication. We have multiple Telegram groups open. We're always talking with each other, and we're planning to hand each other, you know, projects that each other can value from and also cooperate with. So especially for projects that want to use NFTs and art as utility for certain financial systems, like how Loop is planning to do with LP DeFi NFTs. You know, if we have art that needs to be incubated and a token that needs to be done, then we can hand Loop Ventures can come to Lunart and, you know, me and Luna Launcher at the same time, have a 2-hour call with both of us. And then we set up a system where both of our teams highlight both of our areas of strength to create this crazy project that's not just DeFi, not just NFTs, but, you know, both of it together in a beautiful Web3 package. So, you know, one of the most important things about DeFi, about decentralization, is options. So when you have a really popular launch pad that, oh, turns out maybe they're popular because they've been cheating and lying and manipulating, it's good to have other solutions and, you know, other upcoming projects, because as we're seeing with Luart, right now, is they're losing projects. They're losing defenders. They lost Luna Wardens because no one likes to be lied to and manipulated. So it's important to have these options in DeFi, because although one may be the best right now, you know, next week we might find out that they're not really that great.
I love that you have such a focus on like collaborating with people. Like, I think that's like
it's the only way to do things. I mean, DeFi really enables that, right? I've always said that I think DeFi accentuates cooperation over competition. Both are important. But decentralized finance allows people to cooperate in a way that makes everyone money. You know, you can make money by doing a project that uses drones to plant trees around the world. A little bit of alpha. We haven't signed them yet, but that's an idea. You know, you can make money by trying to save the world with DeFi. So why not? Let's do it. Let's make the partnerships.
Yeah, that's a real statement, because like it legitimately only like makes sense, especially let's say like with your partnership with Lunart, not Luart. it literally only makes sense where you guys are launched, like if a project has like the project itself, but then also has NFT component, you guys can hand off, you know, delegate some of that work to Lunar so that they can do that portion, especially since they will probably have more of the expertise and like the artistic side of things, and you guys have more of the
So it's great to have an NFT token that has utility, you know, and gives you DeFi value, but it's even better if that's a beautiful fractal created by a team of professional artists.
Exactly.
Let's say like I'm like an NFT project and I want to get on like the launch pad. Can you kind of walk me through a little bit of the process, what that looks like?
Yeah. So anytime, you know, there's any kind of project, be it DeFi or NFT or whatever, that wants to raise for an IDO, wants to raise capital, basically, they can apply on our website. There's a form at the bottom of the website, and it's also on the landing page that says apply with us. And it's just a basic, you know, Google form that asks for information about your project. And then, you know, that all comes directly to me. And then at least half of those are bullshit. I don't know why people spend their time doing some of the applications they do, because they, you know, some of them aren't even like actual. Anyway, I won't get into that. I look through all of them, and if I find one that has potential, I'll meet with them, face a, you know, or video call with them. And same thing with Loop Ventures. They have the same, you know, type form on their website. Anyone who wants to raise can apply there, and if it looks promising, they'll get, you know, FaceTime with a representative. And then both of us, we have actually a 10-point scale that we share with each other, where, you know, how we rank a project on their progress. So if like we think it's a project that really needs a lot of support and needs some business modeling and coaching and maybe some, you know, design support, that kind of thing, we'll send them to a larger meeting with the team at Loop Ventures for incubation. Whereas if we find that it's an extremely well thought out project with a great business model and, you know, its own individual momentum already and a good product that just needs to raise capital for, you know, to bootstrap liquidity, then we'll send them to Luna Launchers, to meet with our tech team and discuss more. So, you know, all these events start with someone just applying with a form, and no one likes forms, and it makes you feel like you're never going to get accepted, but that's the best way to do it. Just if you have an idea, come and share it, you know, in this stupid little form. And if it's a good idea, you'll be getting an email requesting some, you know, a phone call, and then we can talk about it. We can work it out. We can see if it'll work and move from there. And the best thing about that is that, you know, maybe the IDO model is not even right for the project that applies, but if they make it that far, they'll be on a call with me and probably Maz, and, you know, we'll tell them where to go. If we think it's a good project, but we think it's not for us, we'll be like, hey, we got some friends over at this thing. They got what you need. We'll set you up in a Telegram group with them. Here you go. And then, you know, even if we don't get every single launch that comes our way, a lot of times, you know, just helping them find the right place to go with their project brings value to the entire ecosystem anyway. So if you have a project idea, if you want to raise capital for a project, you think it's killer, go to our website, hit that form, send something our way. I will say, you know, like I said, we do end up not accepting by far most of the projects, but it's worth a shot.
I mean, you know, if the projects are bullshit, I wouldn't accept them either.
that's another great thing. You know, even if, like, if it's a great idea, but they're going about it all wrong, we can recommend them through the incubation service, and maybe in 6 months, they'll be ready to launch a killer project.
I think that's a huge key too, that you guys have that incubation service for projects that really, really need something more than just financial gain. We'll capitalize.
It's so good. It's so nice to have as a CEO of a launchpad, because, you know, I'm sure other CEOs of launchpads are always frantically trying to find a next project. But, you know, I get freaking nice projects delivered to my doorstep. And, you know, vetted ones that definitely aren't going to scam me, and that we can just, you know, build a cool product with. So for the first couple months of launches, we have a crazy lineup. We have one that we're just not ready to announce yet, that involves music production, which I'm super stoked about as a dance music fanatic. And I can't announce anything on that, but, you know, all the projects that come away through the incubator, we love having that resource.
Unofficially, on behalf of Tix Protocol, get in my DMs.
Dude, yes. Dude, I love the Tix idea. So 100%, let's talk. Yeah. Again, like I said, I'm a dance music fanatic, and I think Tix has, you know, huge potential to revolutionize the events industry and, you know, ticket access. So please, yeah, let's talk.
Ooh, I can't leak alpha here, but if you're in Austin in June, Tix will have a booth. So, and rumor has it, we'll have some pretty cool stuff. So like swing by, see what we got cooking, say out of the team. I don't know if I will be there. Yeah, we got a baby on the way, but
I know. Yeah, I'd love to. I'll go by the text booth for sure. I hope to see you there. I hope to meet Lou too. That'd be great. You know, but yeah, she's probably gonna be busy.
Actually, can I shameless plug real quick? Also, stop by the Messier booth. See those guys? They're a dope ass marketplace, super community centered. I have vested interest. I'm on the team. We don't suck. Come see what's up. Yeah, and then we also have a bunch of other cool projects that you should go say hi to. Like, there's going to be over 60 dApps there. I don't think people realize how big this expo is going to be and how much fun and how much cool shit people have up their sleeves for you guys, like from all sorts of stuff. So, like, if you aren't going to Austin, rearrange your shit unless you're having a kid. Like, you don't have an excuse. You should be at this. And tickets are going up in price soon. Like, so buy your shit soon.
Or yeah, just have the kid in Austin.
Yeah, right? Make it an event
for me. Dude, I'm sliding to the Teradev Expo as well. So hopefully.
Cilantro will be there. We'll have a booth. We'll be all over the place. We're spending a bunch on marketing and swag. So come get some free stuff.
Luna Launcher, I'm doing live interviews there, so we got to set up a time. I need to interview you folks. Please.
I do even better when I'm on camera.
Yo, I do even better face-to-face. Like, I can see people, see reactions.
Elaine, so why don't you get pale and that nausea look come over your face when you realize you have to answer a hardball?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Usually I have someone else in the room to answer this for me.
Let's go. Who's going to have this PR person right there? It's going to whisper in his ear.
Yeah, I think I don't want to be 100% about this, but I'm pretty sure we have a escalator ad, Luna Launcher. So every time you go up the escalator, you'll have our fun ad to interact with, and including a QR code that will feature some sort of AR functionality. Fingers crossed we can get that shit done in time. You know, augmented reality, that is. Scan a barcode, see the rocket ship fly up the escalator, that sort of thing. I don't know. We'll see.
Yo, that's so fire. I love the attention to detail Luna Launcher is showing, man.
The coolest thing is we work with these absolute guns in the industry. So we work with people that are gurus at AR. So we just go to them like, hey, like, if we wanted to have a weird ad where you scan a barcode and a rocket like pops up in AR, could you do that? And they're like, oh, yeah, easy. I'm like, oh, cool. We didn't know that was even possible. Can you do it for us?
Absolutely cannot wait to meet you folks through the live interview. Also, for anybody out there, if you have any questions, feel free, raise your hand, ask to speak. Yeah, I'll bring you on up here. Don't be scared.
Don't make me pale. You can't see me, so it's fine.
So when is the token launching again?
Yeah, so the IDO event occurs starting May 10th. So the way it works is at May 10th, we'll have a 24-hour window where all wallets that win the whitelist have 24 hours to invest their allocations worth. So regular allocation, if you win it through our public whitelist, which is live, or our Gleam campaign, which is live, or any of the NFT giveaways that we're doing this week, two of which are live, that will give you your wallet $150 worth to invest of allocation in that IDO. So, you know, we're not giving $150. It'll give you the ability to invest up to $150 in launch at the IDO price of 14 cents. And if you win, you know, public whitelist and the Gleam giveaway and you get an NFT giveaway, then you'll have, you know, $450 max allocation to invest. So that event runs for 24 hours for whitelisted wallets. And then after that, there will be a lull so that our devs can make sure there's no crazy problems on public. And we'll announce it when that comes. And then there will be a public round where anyone can invest. And we're going to come up with a maximum amount per wallet for the public round. But we're also going to do that after guaranteed allocation is closed. So we make sure it makes sense. So yeah, less than a week. Less than a week, launch will go through its IDO. It's the only chance you'll have to get, you know, launch at this IDO price. And unlike a lot of other IDOs, it's vested immediately. You know, TGE will take a few days after the IDO, but as soon as TGE happens, 100% of the launch that you buy through the IDO is immediately available and liquid in your wallet, which is critical because, you know, you have to use launch power to get whitelisted for one cast.
Okay. So 1 week, this is happening. This is about to be huge, my friend.
Yeah, if I were turning on this whole marketing machine and I'm going on AMAs every day, we're giving away NFTs every day. We're just, you know, we're building the hype, but we're doing it, like I said, in as many active and useful communities as we can. And I was going to say one more thing. Oh, one more thing is we're raising $420,000, 420, baby, $420,000 for the launch IDO, because we think that's incredibly fair. We noticed that other launch pads have raised really large amounts in the public round. Careful what I say here. Like one launch pad that we know of that I can't name raised $7 million in their public round, which is really just too much. Like, I don't know. A launch pad doesn't really need $7 million from the public round right away, right? It's not, I don't know what you'd spend $7 million for. And the price of that token has, yeah, it's not going up. It's gone quite far down since then. And we thought that was because they had a problematic raise amount. We're only raising $420,000 for Luna Launcher because we think that's all we need. We have the incubator connection. We have a lot of deal flow already lined up. So we don't need to give away a bunch of tokens at this cheap, you know, IDO price. And we think it'll be not healthy for our investors if we do. So we're just doing the amount that we feel is necessary, which is around 400, and then we made it 420 for the memes.
What's the supply of the launch token?
Total circulating supply, when fully diluted, will be 100 million launch. So for perspective, 3 million launch is being vested in this public sale, 3%. And liquidity rewards are vested over, I think, 36 months. 36 months total will be our total emission schedule. We have more information on our pitch deck, which is on our website.
So, of course, I just went and did the math. You guys are launching like a $14 million market cap. I'm super excited.
You know, yeah. And we
and that's fully diluted. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
We have, we have a milestone that we're shooting for long term. And I can't say it, but if we reach the market cap that we're targeting, then everyone who gets in on this idea is going to be happy. But I can't talk to that. We think it's not just possible. We think as long as mostly I and also other projects we do don't fuck up, we'll get there. Sorry, Terra Space Tapes.
Yeah, hi guys. Just want to kind of chime in what you guys are talking about. Sorry, I dropped off earlier and I was listening to a little bit of that Luart bullshit that they're going on about in there. I wrote a paper back in the days when I was studying about a top down and a bottom up approach, and that's around architecture and stuff like that. But I think what I was just wanting to kind of get an understanding on is, I understand from what you've said, it's a very top-down kind of project or the way you're looking at things. I think maybe just be quite careful of what you kind of look at as a community, because what Terra, from what I understand, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody here, it seems like it's a bottom-up approach, which seems to work the best for, doesn't matter how high and prestige you are as a platform or as a product. At the end of the day, it's the people that come to invest that buy into what you're selling or you're trying to sell is the most important thing at the end of the day. Because I know we all want to benefit from what you're doing as a project, but your investors are going to be the people on the ground. So what's your USP in regards to that? And how do you get your buy-in from other communities? Because I know what you've said, you've turned down a lot of projects. How does that kind of affect the community as a whole, if you're consistently downplaying a lot of the projects, or you're not good enough, and your buy-in and the bar is very high? But what makes me want to say, like, actually, I'm going to give it a go and see if I'm going to be able to kind of get on that project, or what gives you such high stead in the market to say that you can only accept X amount of projects, or this project is only capable to be on our platform? Sorry, I know I'm rambling a lot there.
No, yeah, I mean, you raise a bunch of good questions. And first of all, I would say that regardless, I mean, right now we're getting a ton of project applications because we're brand new, but we can, as a launch pad, you know, we can only do so many launches over time. We're shooting for, by the end of the year, to try to do launch a project hopefully around a project per week. But until then, we'd really like to launch two projects per month. So ultimately, you know, what it boils down to is we have to be choosy because, you know, we have our infrastructure built, we have our team size, and we've decided that right around two projects per month is best. And we get sometimes over 100 applications per week. So we have to be choosy no matter what. And then, you know, I mean, that feeds into why we have to, you know, reject some applications. But even if a launch is rejected on our platform, there's tons of places that projects could go to seek raises. But ultimately, like I said, we most of the times that we do this is because we do want to protect our investors. Like you said, the investors are what's important in a launch pad. I mean, the projects and the investors are the two most important things. That's what we do. We raise money from investors for projects, and we hope those investors get return on value. So we always, first of all, we only even consider raises that, you know, we don't think is at all remotely possible to scam our community. And we only set up deals in a way that we think, you know, there's no way that these projects could ever rug on us, though we always do our due diligence for that. But ultimately, I think you asked for the U.S. You said the USV, one of the unique, I can't remember if it was unique value proposition or not, but our unique value that we offer to, you know, our investors is that we, for all these Loop Ventures projects that are incubated directly to us, you know, these are first opportunities for anyone to get into that business. It's not like we're launching a project that someone could be doing the same thing on in, you know, a different blockchain because it's all tech based. These are all totally unique projects that essentially the infrastructure for which hasn't even existed before. Like Hybrid NFT. Hybrid NFT is doing an NFT marketplace, but it's not just like, you know, Lou Art and Messier, which are some of, you know, still good marketplaces, but all based on the NFT art. Hybrid NFT is basically a group of marketing professionals who have been in the industry for 15 years, have connections with brands like, you know, Star Wars and Disney and all that stuff, and are creating an NFT marketplace that allows users to put brand-owned content into NFTs. And then not only that, but use their print-on-demand smart factory infrastructure to print and deliver those NFTs anywhere in the world using a decentralized online service. So like you said, you know, our approach is a little top down in that we are looking first at super high quality and high caliber projects and then saying, you know, this should work, so it will work. So you're right, we do have to be very careful about that. But ultimately, you know, we're delivering to our investors and people who take the risk of buying and holding and staking and farming launch to support the to support launch. But we're giving those investors the opportunity to invest in something that hasn't existed before and could only exist in this market condition at this time, you know, with the infrastructure that we built on the Terra network. Does that answer your question? I'm trying.
Yeah, it answers partly of my question. I think also what would be your understanding or recommendation on somebody that's already launched on a separate marketplace, which may have had a very successful launch? Would you look to migrate them over, or is it just you have to initiate or start your project over at your platform, or is that something you're looking at in terms of like migrating people, cross-pollinization in regards to people that have launched maybe like say a prior project in a different marketplace beforehand, and maybe part 2, 3, 4 of their phase they would look to kind of come over to what you guys are doing, but you've already seen what they've produced and what their community looks like and what kind of vision they've got. Is that something that you are looking into, or is that something that you accept, or is that something that you guys are not there with at the moment?
So just to clarify, we're talking specifically NFT projects at this point, right?
Yes.
So that's a tough one to answer because, you know, it depends on the deal that project has made with whatever marketplace they're already affiliated with. So I can't always say for certain, you know, if any individual case will be possible, but 100% yes, that is the kind of stuff we're looking for. We're always, in fact, cross-pollinization is one of our big buzzwords of the week. And it's the reason that we're doing NFT spaces or Twitter spaces with all kinds of different NFT projects, which have interest on different blockchains, because we think the most important, one of the most important things about having these types of launches is having a diverse array of, you know, investors with different interests in a decentralized manner, not having, you know, too many whales near the middle, too many people with the same similar interests, too many people who already run together in the same circles who are able to dump on projects at will when they need to, you know, having this cross-pollinized diverse ecosystem supporting these big GameFi metaverse type projects. But to answer your question, yes, we are always looking for projects that, you know, think that they want to make a change in the infrastructure of their project, especially in the market that it's on, and maybe made a decision that made sense for them in the past, but now decide that, you know, for the betterment of their own project, they need to make a different decision. And more, even more so, we're always, you know, willing and flexible to curate deals, you know, per those projects. We, if we think that, you know, you, if we know that your project is vetted and doing really well, you know, it's valuable to us. We want that. We want to show that, you know, we have quality projects and to be able to prove it right from the get-go. So it's easier to perform some kind of capital raise for a project who's already been successful, but then maybe had an unfortunate turn of events with their chosen business partner. Maybe due to that, you know, they want to continue their, you know, their own project without having the shadow of that, you know, manipulative whatever service that they aligned themselves with prior, you know, existing on their project. So yes, that's like probably top tier thing that we're interested in. If you have such a project or if you're affiliated with such a project, like I said, you can apply via our form and we'll talk about it. But one of the most important things for Launchpad is for the users and investors to trust the Launchpad, because, you know, obviously we're not even giving a direct product. We're giving the promised investment of tokens that don't even exist yet, right? That's what an IDO is. So the human instinct is, I don't trust this person. They're giving me made up tokens that don't even exist, you know, not even printed out of thin air because they're not printed yet. So if we can, one, you know, help raise money for a project that people already believe in, that people already care about, that have already made a splash, and two, help construct that narrative that, like, hey, this project launching is great, but it's in these unfortunate circumstances with its prior business partner. Here's what Luna Launcher is doing to help them. Here's what, you know, here's the problem we saw, and here's how we're addressing it. That helps people trust us immensely. So I'd say those types of projects are extra valuable to us. And if you have one in mind, please either, you know, send a DM, use our form, whatever. Let's talk about it.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, I love the art for Terra Space Apes. Super interested in that. I think it's Mando that does it, right? And that stuff is gorgeous. I'm excited for that project.
Thank you, brother.
So we had like a community question that DeFi Jedi did with, like, for a giveaway.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna go ahead. This is from Courageous Man. The Courageous Man. What is the ultimate vision that your project is trying to achieve within the cryptocurrencies market? Obviously, the whole space will experience huge growth in the upcoming years. But what role would you like your project to play in this?
Can I read a story now? I've just been winging it, talking out the bottom of my mind. But I'm writing an article that I wanted to publish by the time that this space happened, but I wasn't quite done. And the first section is called The Vision. So if I could answer by reading that, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool. The Vision. The biggest players in Web3 have their eyes on Terra. Luna was the best performing L1 cryptocurrency asset of 2021, and UST is chugging towards the position of top stablecoin. GameFi and Web3 projects around the world are looking to build onto powerful blockchain network like Terra. Billions of dollars will pour into the metaverse wave, attracting a wave of crypto newbies who couldn't tell ETH from WETH. That works better in text. Now in bold, the mission statement: Luna Launcher's mission is to give our launchers early access to the most promising projects that we can bring to Terra. With the help of our meticulous incubator partner, Loop Ventures, Luna Launcher will raise capital for the most successful and vetted mainstream projects that we can find, spanning the music, film, gaming, and infrastructural industries. We are raising for projects that will help to bridge the gap between mainstream and crypto, and we're giving our launchers special early access to their investment opportunities. The metaverse wave normies will come in due time, Our marketing engines are calibrated to ramp up over 2 years. But the visionaries have always been the ones to take the cake. The launch IDO happening in less than a week is your opportunity to get exposed at the very beginning of our venture. You're on the fuck, I ruined the last line. DJ, run it back. All right, you're on the ground floor going up. Yeah, so that's our vision in a nutshell. We see the mainstream appeal. We've seen it in examples such as, you know, the Washington Nationals being supported by Terra Luna. We see it more and more every day, and especially as more and more people get disinterested with the US dollar. There needs to be a better solution than fiat, and it already exists. So some of the most exciting and accomplished projects in the world are looking to build onto blockchain for the first time ever. And, you know, we have the advisors, we have the infrastructure, we have the tools, we have a lot of the community and educational resources. You know, what we need now is to turn all that into a product, a, you know, Luna Launcher app. And what we need is the investors, right? We need the public investors. So that's what we're doing right now. We have all this lined up. We think it's going to be great for, you know, calculated reasons. We just need to build that and bring it into reality. So we're offering Luna Launcher, you know, as this platform. We're trying to make it as fair as possible to get in the IDO. And we're trying to give everyone a chance who also thinks that the mainstream, you know, a lot of mainstream tech is about to go blockchain in the next few years. We're giving all those people a chance to put their money where their mouth is with launch, you know, buy enough launch to get themselves in whatever tier that they want and participate as much as they can in these exciting new, I mean, really new projects.
I think that was like an excellent answer for that question. And
that's good. So I'm going to have that essay up on all the NFT giveaways that we do. So people who are like, what the fuck is this, can read it and be like, I vibe with that.
Now, for those of you who just popped in, it is the AMA. So if you would like to speak, feel free to just request to speak. I'm going to do another one of these questions, actually, from that giveaway. DeFi Jedi, that cool?
Yeah, baby, make it happen.
Let's do it. Let's do it. This is from Bukan Raiden 9. Master, I want to ask, by looking at the current conditions of Bitcoin, many projects experience dumps after their launch. Has Luna Launcher prepared a strategy to anticipate liquidity problems and price stability after launch?
That's right. And I feel like I've already addressed this and answered it to a degree, because that, I mean, that user's absolutely right. We have seen that with every single Launchpad token. I'd say Pylon Mine did the best because it, you know, climbed over like a month or two or whatever from 1 cent to 24 cents and then gradually went down. But yeah, I mean, I'll speak factually so I can drop names, but StarTerra pumped to, you know, $7 and then dumped continuously since then to one or whatever that it's at now. Atlo, same thing. It wasn't as extreme, but I think it's below IDO price for the Atlo token right now. I think that's because they raised $7 million for their IDO, which just seems like too much. Ooh, I better be careful. And, you know, Valkyrie has gone through a lot, and they weren't even an IDO platform when they started. They were really just a multi-level marketing platform, which is a cool idea, but, you know, they had a hella inflationary model. And so, yeah, same thing happened to them. They spiked up to like $7 on the first day, which was my birthday. And I should have sold for my birthday, but I didn't. Anyway, and then it's been in a downtrend ever since. Since then, they've introduced Valkyrie passes and other deflationary tactics with their IPCs, which I think will actually have a long-term effect. And I've actually been working with them personally. When I do other things with Loop Ventures, I've been working with BC Chang and Ryan and their team because we think they have a cool project. But yeah, like that commenter said, most of, if not all, these tokens have pumped and dumped. And we are 100% cognizant of that, and we're working to avoid that. Like we said, our public raise is only $420,000, 3%, and it's all vested immediately. So, you know, at once, it could be argued that that's the recipe for dump, but that's why we're providing utility for our launch token the moment that it's vested. The only way to get into the OneCast Studio raise is to have launch, and is to have enough launch to, you know, have a, you know, Snowflake's chance in hell of winning allocation for that project. If you do participate in the IDO at base allocation, That's $150 worth of Launch at 14 cents. So even if Launch, you know, this is a hypothetical number, please don't quote me, this is not financial advice, et cetera. Even if Launch does, you know, 100% increase on TGE, you know, we launched on TGE at IDO price of 14 cents. And then let's say over a day, the price raises to 30 cents. Even if that happens, people who participate in base allocation for the IDO have $300 worth of Launch, which is still only enough to get them in the Firefly tier. And quite frankly, if you're in the Firefly tier, statistically speaking, you're not likely to get, you're maybe likely to get one IDO for the year. Because, you know, you need to have higher tiers to have higher chances to participate in IDOs. So even if that scenario occurs, people who invest in our IDO at the maximum allocation that we allow, you know, per winning IDO will not quite be in the second tier. So we're trying to develop a system where, based on the research we've done, you know, people who get in the IDO will be excited about it because they see the vision, they get some Launch, they'll be like, yeah, I got in early, but you know, they'll want more. They'll be like, well, this is nice that I'm Firefly, but I really want to be in Falcon tier. So like, you know, I have 2 weeks until the whitelist for one cast closes. So in the next 2 weeks, I got to look for opportunities to buy enough Launch to get me to this point. So we hope that by doing that, and by, you know, having a very small allocation, max $150 per, and by distributing these whitelists to as many vetted and established communities as we can, like we've already done a giveaway for solos. We're doing a giveaway for Stone Ducks right now. I'll drop more alpha. We're doing a giveaway for Unstables. We're doing a sub-community giveaway for Unstables Goldens, Monochromes, and possibly Cactuses. I'm talking to we're doing a giveaway for Astroverse. I'm talking to Anarchist right now to do a giveaway. Talking to Levana to do a giveaway.
Can I come in here?
I can't think of. Yeah, please.
Yeah, I saw DeFi Jedi sent me a message. Bit confused and trying to understand DeFi Jedi. If you open up our DMs, you wrote, if you ever recently won a giveaway, please reply at your Terra Luna address. Is that you, really?
Hey, if I sent it to you, you might have won one. Let me see. I would have to go check.
Yeah, you might just open it.
Yeah, let me open, see if I can refresh it.
Well, DeFi is doing that. We also got a.
I'll reply to his DM and follow up with him and see what's up.
I won something.
I don't know if you did. I gotta go look.
Oh man.
I enjoy you, Jimmy. But I hope you won something, Jimmy. My guy Simon, you've been waiting patiently. You got any questions for Luna Launcher?
I'm helping build a Luna Launcher. I'm just sitting up here and checking where we're at and everything, and I might add some stuff if there's anything that you want me to cover, Demos.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it and I see you in the room. So another thing, I wonder if we could touch on at this point, Simon. We were just talking about what can Luna Launcher do to hopefully prevent the token from dumping right at TGE. And I was wondering if, you know, I was talking about some of the ways we're distributing the whitelist, and I was wondering if you could touch on the ways that we're getting the whitelist distributed to as many interested outside investment communities as we can.
Yeah, well, look, I've like a very large confidence that we won't dump at TGE. And this has to do with, you know, obviously the kind of communities that we're getting into Luna Launcher. And I don't know if you spend, for those who spend any time in the Telegram or around that, but it's actually we're bringing a lot of users in from outside of Terra, outside of DeFi. There's a lot of new users from, you know, CeFi platforms and regular crypto communities that we often don't get to see in Terra, and most of them are extremely excited. We also bring some people from you know other chains and launch pads, but I've been, you know, really busy networking and bringing in like kind of large communities of people that are really excited, and these people are typically not dumpers either. They're not the type to have a long term vision. And, you know, obviously they're also the type that dump when they panic and all this sort of stuff, you know, when the market goes bad. But they're also, you know, quite excited for the long-term vision. And then they're there to make more money, and they will typically hold a lot longer. As well as this, you know, we're obviously bringing in a lot more people than just the whitelist. And the idea is that the whitelist and the raise that we're doing is actually quite small. And the idea is that it will actually sell out and that we'll have a lot more people that are interested in getting the launch token than, you know, obviously those that, you know, got some in the whitelist. And obviously that's only a piece of it. And I know that that Demos touched on a little bit more than that. But yeah, it's actually very, very exciting. I don't know if Demos has touched on, I'm sure he has. You know, a lot of the projects, I get to see a lot of the projects that are going to come through the IDEA Launchpad. And so many of them are actually really, really, really solid projects. Especially in the mainstream world. So you're getting a lot of, you know, not, I wouldn't say web two, but you're getting a lot of industries and, you know, founders and, you know, labels and all this sort of stuff that have been looking to build on blockchain for a long time. And they've had their eyes on Terra. And finally, this is kind of where we're getting this wave of GameFi and these kind of platforms that bridge the mainstream and crypto. And so far in Terra, we haven't really had too much of that. You know, we've had a lot of DeFi platforms, we've had a lot of DeGen platforms, and we're starting to get a bit of gaming, especially with, you know, a few of the games popping up. So it's Morning Brain, I'm trying to remember. But now we're sort of starting to get this wave.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, sorry.
Right. Sorry, so now we're starting to get this.
I'm going to leave and come back. Sorry, man.
You're good. We're starting to get this wave of projects just come through, and I'm seeing some of them behind the scenes, and I can't announce even some more than the ones that we've already announced. But they're really, 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 really solid. So, and they help to bring in new users and new normies. So, you know, the idea is to really target other chains and really target like new users and users that haven't been, you know, in the space and they haven't been playing, you know, they haven't been the normal face that we see across all the launches in Terra. And it's a fresh wave of new blood and new faces. And that should be really exciting and really help with that. Cool. I can go on. Like I can talk forever, but I'm going to pass it back to you guys and Demos and Lean Launcher.
That was an awesome, awesome addition to what we've already been talking about. Like, and it really aligns with some of the goals and I want to say like, really, the goals of a lot of the people in this space is to, you know, eventually we have to bring more people to Luna, and normies and the beginners, they have money too. You know, we've got to cater to them. And so hearing that, you know, the way this platform is being built and the things that you guys have been doing, it just is perfectly aligned. It's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Simon.
Yeah, as well, there's less value extraction within normies. There is happening to normies usually, but DeFi and DeGens, there's a lot less, usually a lot less emotion attached to token launches and platforms, and there's a lot more jumping from platform to platform. But with large wave of normies, you get a lot less of that. I was actually on a call with TFL, was it yesterday or the day before? I was on a call with the guys at TFL, and they were saying, and this is a big, big focus for TFL, and you'll probably see this with the LFG grants and a few of those. Their massive focus right now is onboarding NFT projects, artists, mainstream kind of brands that are looking to come to Terra. Like even, you know, the Web3 wave that happened to ETH is going to happen to Terra, right? And it's a big focus because they know that that normal DeGen platforms are not going to attract the users that you need. They're not, you know, as much as I love Prism, Prism is not going to attract the next wave of mainstream users, right? They don't understand it and it's not kind of their thing. But NFTs, GameFi, brands, all this sort of stuff will attract the next wave. And from what I've seen of pretty much all the projects that Luna Launcher is looking to launch or is launching, that all the kind of brand, that all the kind of, protocols that are bringing in lots of brand, lots of mainstream attention, lots of kind of big players and influencers. You know, OneCast is amazing. Like they're super successful and connected in the entertainment industry. Like that they'll bring, you know, 10 to 100 million eyeballs from that kind of space into, you know, what they're doing with NFTs and bringing in celebrities and stuff to blockchain. But other platforms like Hybrid and all the other ones that I can't mention yet behind the scenes are all going to be bringing lots of users and big brands, you know, DJs, all this stuff to Terra and to the space. And, you know, it's kind of like that Web3 wave of ETH. We'll get that on Terra as well. So it's good to get in front of that wave. And I always talked about just a last piece. I always, you know, talk about positioning, right? So the greatest success always comes from when you're at the right place at the right time and you position yourself in front of the wave of masses that is coming. So every trend, there's always a narrative that's coming and there's always a new wave and the next wave. and you can join it. You can join it in the middle, or you can be the visionary and get in before the wave and notice what's going to come and what's happening. Position yourself, and that's when the best returns happen. So this is just kind of my way of thinking, is always thinking, what's the next narrative? What's the next thing that's coming to Terra or crypto in general? And how can I get in front of that wave? And how can I ride that wave before the masses get on board? And I feel like that is NFT's game fight and, you know, Web3 and brands. That is what's coming to Terra. And that's where I want to position myself before that wave and before the normies and the masses come on and everything goes bonkers.
You're thinking very, very far ahead, Simon. I like it.
Yeah, dude's on top of things. He is a networking wizard too. If you see, if you've seen Little Launch of Twitter before this week and then see some of the designs that we're getting up there this week, that is all thanks to Simon's networking wizardry. He's got some of the best, most just productive designers working on creating, helping us create cool designs and hype for our projects. So thank you so much, Simon.
So does anybody else have any questions that they would like to ask? Or Luna Launcher, you got any more alpha you want to show for us?
So biggest thing, we've been talking a lot about the vision and the token and the whitelist of Luna Launcher today. And of course, that's all integral. But like we've been saying, the two most important things of the launch pad are the projects that we launch and our investors. So as we you know, find out who our investors are, we're going to have a really important AMA on Saturday. We're still working on the details of exactly when that's going to happen. But Saturday, we're going to have our first founders interview. So I'm going to get on a call with Amar from OneCast, and we're going to dive deep into, you know, who he is, where he comes from, what his vision is, and how he's going to bring that onto blockchain and Terra using OneCast Studio. So, you know, I know Cam is a seasoned actor. He's been, you know, in a few productions in the acting industry. You might be extremely interested to hear this one, because OneCast is the, you know, booking and events platform that's going to use NFTs to bring the booking events industry into a more efficient ecosystem on Terra. And, you know, Saturday is going to be our first really big, just dense content block with one of our projects. So while this one was a lot of information about us and our project, Saturday's where the meat is. You know, that's where, if you think you might want to invest in OneCast Studio in this NFT booking and payments platform, you got to check it out. I mean, you're going to hear it straight from the guy who had the idea and who's making it all happen. And you're going to hear the conversation between him and the launch pad that's going to, you know, propose the opportunity for Terra investors. So I would say check that one out. We will post the exact times as soon as we get confirmation from all parties, but it's going to be on Saturday, which is like, it's going to be right before the whitelist closes. So if you're at all wondering, you know, do I want to get involved in this? That's going to be the best event to go to, because you can really see what you're going to get out of it.
For anyone out there who didn't realize like how epic that's going to be on Saturday, just, you know, just imagine like the information that you get from Twitter. That's like secondhand information, right? That's somebody else who heard, let's say, a speaker speak and then is then writing about it. And then now you're reading it. So I think it's very, very important that, you know, you take these opportunities to speak with these founders of these projects, to be able to speak directly with the source of all the alpha so that you can get information about the project prior to investing. Thank you, Luna Launcher, for actually doing the founder interviews. It's huge.
Yeah, it's critical. Like you said, you know, and like I said earlier, you're investing in a project that doesn't exist yet. So there's got to be a reason for it, right? And like Simon was saying, I think one of the most powerful narratives, one of the most powerful reasons to try is because, you know, someone like Simon can see that the next big wave is going to be GameFi, metaverse tech coming on the blockchain. That's what's going to bring in, you know, people who have never experienced cryptocurrency before, and that's what's going to drive our next huge bull market. So like Simon said, if you agree with that vision, if it aligns with you, and if you listen to a founder who's building on it and you can trust and believe in them, then yeah, position yourself to get in front of the wave. Even if it's just a little bit of exposure, why not? Making those speculative plays to the ability of your portfolio is what makes for a great speculative investor. So come by, hear the founder talk himself, and decide for yourself. Hey, one other fact that I just want to touch on, because we never mentioned it. Doing research for an upcoming IDO is critical. You need to do your own research to make sure you're not investing in a scam and to make sure you understand the project that you're about to get tokens vested from for 8 months or whatever. And it's generally a lengthy process for individuals, which is another of the partnerships we built with Loop. Every time we do an IDO, we're going to do a bounty for the Loop community authors who, you know, already have a public reputation and already have a portfolio, so you can check their work. And all the best article writers who do this bounty and produce research for upcoming IDOs will be rewarded with guaranteed allocation for that IDO. So at once, we're giving people an extra opportunity to earn value from their, you know, Web3 input, like I said at the start of this space. And we're also producing an ecosystem of research so that people who, you know, are interested but not quite sold on investing in this IDO have multiple lenses through which to view the project. So that's going to be an important part of our ecosystem.
So if no one else has any questions, I would like to just say thank you to the Luna Launch team for hopping onto the space. You guys dropped a shit ton of alpha. And I'm super duper excited about the project. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us. You know, we have more alpha to drop. And like I said, we got tons of giveaways to do this week. So if you follow our Twitter, we'll be retweeting our giveaways. I'd also love to give you, you know, Jedi, Cam, and BZ, and anyone that helped produce, sorry, Breezy. My bad. Anyone who else is interested, I'd like to give you guys, I don't know the best. Yeah, right. I knew there were two E's in there and it started with a B. Beezy, breezy, easy. You know, I'd like to give you guys each, I don't know, we'll figure out the numbers, but I'd like to give you a reasonable number of whitelists for the launch IDO, because I know you guys will know how to give it to people who will be valuable investors, and you can figure out the infrastructure, the way to do that. But yeah, let's link up after this. And then you can distribute, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 whitelist spots each to some of your community, so that people, you know, have the non-obligatory option to invest in this IDO in a few days.
Hell yeah.
Freestyle, hell baby. Yeah.
Go ahead, Breevy. I just wanted to say hell yeah.
No, I actually legitimately just wanted to second your hell yeah. So
yeah. This game,
hell yeah.
Hey, hold on, we got this guy coming up. You got a guy wearing it. Hold on 1 second. He's coming in.
Go ahead. It's working.
This guy.
All right. Awesome.
Guy,
I'm very
you got the floor, my friend.
This is honestly the, well, first serious project I'll be throwing some money at, but you guys sound like a super well thought out, like well-rounded project in general. You guys honestly answered any questions I possibly could have had surrounding any concerns to do with like pump or dump shit, and the fact that it's got some legs to it, and the projects aren't just junk. I haven't even been whitelisted yet, so I'm definitely chasing that secret code to try and get me a chance. That's
you.
Really the only question I got, and I just wanted to compliment you guys on the thoroughness and the depth of work that you guys seem to have put into all this. I really do see the potential in crypto and DeFi as the future, and I'm definitely looking to get in before the rest of the world.
Hell yeah, you got the right idea. Real quick before I do unleash that secret code, which thank you for
reminding me. I thought you guys might do it at the end anyways, but I didn't.
I was going to forget, it. Man.
I'm glad frankly. I jumped in.
Yeah, this guy, huh? real quick, I just want to say something. You said this is maybe the first DeFi project that you're interested in getting involved in, and I think that's awesome, because I think that the model that we're building for Luna Launcher makes it great for DeFi noobs. You know, you don't have to say it like that, but people who aren't, there are a lot of people who are in Terra and totally active in the NFT communities, yeah, but not quite sure how to go about DeFi because it's, yeah, hella confusing.
You guys especially lay it out in a really like step-by-step, so yeah, easy to understand way that's made it easy for me to feel confident in throwing a bit of money at you guys and trust.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It's gonna turn into something. So
that's great. We love to hear it, especially I'm sure Simon loves to hear that, because if you guys know anything about Simon's work in the Loop ecosystem, Simon's spearheading, yeah, Loop Learn.
My biggest concern with all this stuff, sorry to cut you off again, is like probably the real world factor, because like at the end of the day, yeah, like, who really wants to put like real money into a bunch of like nonsense? So eventually there has to come some kind of real world integration for it to actually mean something or actually have any, like, to go 50-100 years, like actually be the future, not just be some junk that's going to die in 5 years like most people were thinking crypto was like years back, but I think the general consensus has very much changed these days. So.
Yeah, I think that still most people think like that and they're wrong. But yeah, I think we're right at the cusp, you know, the turning point where I got my hair cut at a barbershop today in downtown Denver. And I mentioned the fact that I paid my rent with an NFT this month. And thank you, Stone Ducks. And the guys, like, I had a 30-minute conversation with these barbers who know nothing about crypto because they're interested. They want to know more about it. Yeah. They want to understand how it works. And they're like, they're like, man, this is crazy. I can't believe it. But like, I got to get on that.
Yeah.
How they ended.
People are still scared, I'd say. But like, I don't meet a single person, young or old, who isn't interested in crypto and like what's going to happen next. So.
And like I'm saying, Simon is building Loop Learn. If you've not checked out Loop Learn, go check it out. It's a beautiful video learning tool. It's perfect for, you know, if you have a family member or a friend or whoever who wants to learn about crypto but doesn't know where to start, send them Simon's videos. They're super professional, very clear and concise, touch on really important points. It's a resource that I wish I had 3 years ago, and it's unfair that people get it now. And it just doesn't make sense for people not to get started because they have nice educational resources like that.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly add on that, this guy, because goes exactly into what I said about positioning, right? So if you look at the way the internet was at the start of the dot-com boom, right?
Yeah.
Over the dot-com boom, it went through similar things to what crypto did. Like, there was lots of platforms that weren't legit. There was lots of scams, lots of like kind of junk. There was a lot of hype about speculatory value. And then it kind of leveled out. And then you had the next couple of years where true adoption and true quality actually built up. And you're going to see that change. You'll see that change over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I understand that. I started studying about 12 months ago I first was looking at penny stocks and whatnot, and then I branched over into the crypto market because I'm in Oz, so trading American market times and whatnot is just a pain in the ass. But in my studies, I've sort of learnt the market fluctuation and how things, like, it's all hype at first, but certain things can't stay, and they stay for the long haul, and that's where you want to be. That's where you want to position yourself. So, and crypto is very much
just the last piece.
The next phase, as far as I'm concerned, like the next big thing. So.
There's a really important piece that I think is kind of neglected in this, and this is something that we're also looking at quite deep over the future in Lunar Launcher. Is typically up to now, crypto. If you look at teams for crypto startups and protocols, it's very similar to. It's very similar to the way that Web 2 was built at the start of the dot-com boom, where it's five guys in a bedroom building code, which is it's how the innovation and the adoption starts.
Yeah.
But at one point, there's a transition into having great talent and having great structures come into, you know, the space and help out with different pieces of companies. So a lot of crypto platforms are still very roughly run. They don't have necessarily great marketing. They don't have great, systems and structures. And I know, people in crypto hate this and we love the DAO and decentralization. But when you're scaling a startup, there's a lot of levels to actually getting to that next level and scaling around teams, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't attracted that into crypto yet. And that will come where you're starting to get into ETH, obviously with branding. You see Bored Ape Yacht Club and whatever your views are on that and VC value extraction stuff, that's a different story. But these teams and talent is starting to come into crypto. And when we start getting good marketers and good branders and good all this sort of stuff in different platforms, it will change this landscape for crypto
in quite a big way. Yeah, I see that as your real world proof of action, something for people to see that they can really hold true faith in it. It's not just this smart chain nonsense on the internet that no one has any, that people can't understand. It's something right in front of your eyes. It's like, oh, it's real. Like,
cool, man. Thanks for adding that. Let's reset the room and go back to kind of where you wanted to take it. No, you're sweet, man. To Lunar Launcher and kind of getting that tied off, and obviously you got to get that code somehow. So
yeah,
that's right. And there's one thing I was going to say. Oh shit, where do we start on this though? There's one thing I wanted to say before I gave away the secret code. Now I can't think. Well, okay. So, hey, this is the first time we're ever sharing. It's the second time we're sharing the secret code. I shared it in a DeFi Jedi space before. So we have a Gleam campaign going on right now. So if you 250 people will win a whitelist spot from the Gleam campaign. If you're a winner on that Gleam campaign and you win a whitelist somewhere else, the whitelist allocation will stack. I did confirm that with the team, Simon, just to let you know. So I'm not just blowing that air out my ass. So if you go to our Gleam campaign, which is pinned to our Twitter account right now, in the secret code section, you can enter Rocket Fuel in all caps, all one word, but the O is a zero. So that's R0CKETFUEL. So doing so will basically double your chances of winning compared to if you had submitted a Gleam campaign without that. So I would say you're welcome to share that with whomever you like. I will say if you share it publicly, it will statistically, you know, dilute your chances of winning. So probably just share it to, you know, people you think will be good investors and maybe other people that you want to, you know, consider discussing IDO raises with. If you get your buddies in, get them extra allocation now and get started with Luna launching together. You know, you can bounce ideas off each other, discuss which ones you think will be the best performers and the most fun projects, and, you know, cooperate to build the future of France.
That was some major, major alpha that just got dropped there. Make sure you wrote that code down as Rocket Fuel with a zero instead of a O. So I guess if there's no other questions or anything, I guess we'll go ahead and close the space. This has been super duper amazing. Hearts in the chat if you're still around, man. Hearts in the chat. It's been truly a pleasure, you know, vibing out with you folks over at Luna Launcher. Make sure for everyone out there, make sure you give Luna Launcher a follow. The easiest way to do it is to tap on it and then hit follow. It's the easiest time we're gonna ever have to do this. So make sure you take advantage of it, my friends. To DeFi Jedi. Yeah, my bad. Keep going.
I was going to say, I'm going to have produced probably in the next hour after the space, the article that will, one, contain our vision, and two, contain links to all the hard information articles about our project. So hopefully when I get that produced, I can have maybe some of the hosts retweet it and share it because, you know, and we'll have that pinned to our Twitter account because that will be the one-stop, you know, informational guide for why the hell would I want to participate in this IDO and what does it mean? So keep an eye out for that.
Hey, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so, and then again, DeFi Jedi, thanks for setting all this up. You know, you the shit. We already know that, right?
I appreciate you guys. Privy, Cam, you guys are phenomenal. Thank you so much for hosting and helping, you know, get all the questions answered, get a lot of alpha out there. And you guys did a fantastic job. Luna Launcher, thank you guys for coming and sharing and answering so many questions. There's a hell of a good spaces. And it is going to be recorded on Terra Spaces. And I also recorded it on the Twitter Spaces. So it'll be what I'll do is when we get that new article out from Luna Launcher, I'll retweet it and then I'll pin the spaces beneath with it so that everybody has as much information as possible so that they can learn more and get in on the launch.
Much love. Thanks, Jedi.
Cam, go ahead. You're last to go and then we're out of here. Hang this.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to say thanks for allowing me to, you know, host the space. And definitely if Luna Launcher needs anything else, you know, I'll be happy to host some more spaces and all that jazz and do the giveaway for whitelist and so on. And wanted to thank everyone for coming by and hope everyone has a, you know, great morning or afternoon or night, wherever they are. And we'll talk to you guys all later.
Love it. Thanks so much for the opportunity, Cam. Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. Until next time, may the only thing higher than the Jedi be your portfolio. Take care and peace.
Peace out, everybody. Peace.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Luna Launcher AMA, hosted by Cameron Bright, Breevy, and the DeFi Jedi, recorded on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep it hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next bill. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Envisioning the middlemen, listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.